It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house,
I would buy you a house.
And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
buy you furniture for your house,
maybe a nice Chesterfield or an ottoman.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Thursday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. And you're listening to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. What does that mean to you, Cinco de Mayo?
First and foremost, what it means to me is it is my daughter's birthday.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Your daughter in Seattle.
So, I've got holiday kids. I've got a Cinco de Mayo and a New Year's Eve child. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, perfecto.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I hear that, you know, I would buy you a house for $1 million, you could actually do that and barely make it in Havasu now. There's like 10 to 15 homes, $1 million homes sold per month now.
Oh, yeah.
In Lake Havasu City. So, yeah, that's what you can do with your $1 million. Or, as the Kingman Planning and Zoning Commission just approved, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. It's called Tin Can Alley. It's a lot on Route 66 in Kingman, and Planning and Zoning just approved this, and they're going to make it an Airbnb for an Airstream park.
Cool.
So the old Airstream trailers, they'll be on the site, and you can do Airbnb at that Airstream park, and they'll have, I guess, an ice cream stand and refreshments and things like that on site, too. But
oh, cool.
That's pretty creative use of $1 million, wouldn't you say?
I'd say. I love it.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg again, and we have Latin Palooza tickets.
Yeah.
Not just tickets, but a table.
Sweet.
For six.
How fun.
So over on our sister station, KJJJ 102.3, we're giving away pairs of tickets. I think we have like five pair left.
Cool. What a fun thing to do.
We started with 10, and now we've got a table for six that we're going to give away on Speak Out. Now, this is pretty cool, folks, because it's a stage that's floating in the water with stand-up comedians and live music, and there's no coolers, first off, but you can take your flotation device, be it an inner tube or, you know, floating raft, that sort of thing. If you don't want to sit in a chair, if you don't want to sit in a chair, you can float in the water. So definitely want to take your own chairs, and then there'll be food trucks at the event. So we have six seats at one table. This is for a group of six. And give us a call during the first break, and they will be your tickets. This is at, everybody's like, where is this? Where is this? Lake Havasu State Park, North Beach. So there you have it. 699 London Bridge Road. So again, that's at 1 p.m. on Saturday, and I have six table seats. So that's kind of cool.
Totally cool. I love it.
Definitely want to bring along your sunblock along with that chair or something to float on.
For sure. Yeah. I don't know that the river's, you know, it's not quite, I don't know that at the temp this guy's floating in an inner tube on. So it's got, this is the time in Havasu it's hot, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like you're 95, 102
by Saturday.
Okay. So it's warm, right? You're hot and you're like, oh, I'll just go in the lake and cool off. And you're like, oh, if you're, you know, a little wimpy like me, you're like, well, yeah, you know, maybe I'll go up to my knees.
Think how much cooler it is in the water in Bullhead coming out of the bottom of Davis Dam.
Big time.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. So what's happening in the business world right now?
Whiplash. That's what's happening.
No kidding.
You know, so yesterday the Fed comes out and says, we're bumping interest rates up by half a point. But we don't have any plans to do anything extraordinarily more than that. And so we're just going to continue to monitor it, and we're not changing to be more aggressive. So the market reacts extremely favorably to that because it had already priced in those changes. And so what it heard, what Wall Street heard, was what you'd already priced in is right, and it's not, you know, we don't expect it to get any worse. Maybe we won't even raise it as much, depending upon what happens in the economy. So the Dow goes up 1,000 points. So I say whiplash because currently the Dow Jones is down 1,111 points, or 3.25%. The NASDAQ, the more technology-laden index, down over 5%. And so now you're looking at the NASDAQ definitely what we call not correction territory, but bear market territory, which is a 20% or greater decline. And so I think at the 5% decline where we're at today, that pushes it somewhere in the neighborhood of about a 25% decline year to date so far. The S&P 500 down almost 4% right now, now pushing it closer to, and I can double check this, but more in, you know, down in the 16% or so year to date. So not quite technical bear market territory, but certainly working that direction. And so you're seeing some capitulation, some deterioration, in the market to say, we think earnings are going to go down in corporations, which of course is why the stock market goes down. And because we see all these factors, you know, continuing to come into play, and so we're going through this correction.
At what point do triggers kick in that halt trading on the market on these type of free falls?
So it's not a, we're way away from that. You know, in other words.
Is that a percentage though?
Triggers are based upon a percentage that day. And so in other words, it's like, oh, the market's now down, you know, 25%, so we're not going to let it go down or we're going to halt trading. No, no, no. It's just that day. And the reason that they do that is twofold. One is to kind of let, if people are panicking, let them take a breath. But secondly is a lot of trading is just done through algorithms electronically at the, you know, some of the biggest levels, meaning that once the market or a stock comes to a certain level that indicates in the computer system a sell. So it sells, which drives down the market more, which triggers another sell, which, you know, et cetera. That's actually what occurred in 87 when the stock market dropped like 25% in the matter of like a week or two.
It was a Black Monday,
not 5 months.
They call it?
Yeah. In October, exactly. Mm-hmm. And now what's interesting is that year the market actually closed up, you know, so think of that, you know, you're in October, 25% in a week or two. And if you panicked and bailed, well, the market actually was positive. So not only did you take the loss, by bailing out on somewhere on the decline, but you actually didn't participate in the eventual gain that year. That's a much different animal than what's happening now that, again, they eventually figured was just electronic trading issues. And by the way, they've built kind of fail safes into that system now as a result of what happened then. So the same kind of thing wouldn't happen in that same way anymore. But nevertheless, we see a great deal of volatility in the markets and concerns about things. And so today, obviously, with the market really starting to kind of capitulate, and draw down, it would be a great time to just maybe calm some concerns, some fears that some of you may have. And, you know, it's easier when you've got an advisor who's paying attention and, you know, has some experience and expertise, because they're going to be able to explain, hey, here's why we do need to make some changes, or here's why we're not making any changes, and kind of draw you a picture. And in many cases, in my experience, it's just reminding people, hey, we have a plan, and the plan includes this possibility. So the fact that it's happening isn't cause to just change everything we're doing, because we accounted for this in what we were doing before it even happened. And taking them back to how the strategy works and why the products are going, you know, be resistant or offer some things that are going to really take some of those concerns away. And so it's extremely important that you do that, because this can be unsettling. There's no question about it, because the news, first of all, is focused on unsettling you. I always remind people that nobody, you know, the financial news segment isn't going to say, hey, and I know you're uncomfortable a little bit today, long-term investors, but although we don't know what's going to happen in the future, for the last 150 years, this has always worked out just great for you. Next story. That's not what they're going to say. They're going to try to get you to continue to be glued to it all day long, every day, because you're worried about how bad it's going to get. In other words, think of when times were great. And by the way, the market's been positive 12 of the last 13 years. We don't know where this year is going to end up, but currently obviously struggling. But the whole time it's been positive, hasn't the news cycle just made you worried about when it's going to go down and how bad it's going to be? It was positive 12 of 13 years while it was doing that to you. Okay, so here it is. Of course there was going to be a time where the market corrected and the economy cycle changed. And these things are supposed to happen, is what I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. It's how it works, everybody. And it's not enjoyable, and it's uncomfortable, and it's worrisome. But it is how it works. It adjusts back to the mean. And as you, if you're a listener to the show, you've been hearing me say for a long time, the reasons the market has been positive for so long are because we have been stimulating the economy with unbelievably cheap money, super low interest rates for 15 years or whatever, way lower than normal. Inflation up until the last, whatever, 6-8 months has been unbelievably low by historical standards, you know, 2-2.5 instead of historically more 4%. And now we're at 8, spiking, more than likely peaking. It's been double that, and everybody somehow survived. So I just try to go back in time. You know, there's a great piece by one of the mutual fund families that I use called There Has Always Been Reasons Not to Invest. Literally, right? I mean, if you think about it, there's always, you know, things are great, but you're worried that it's not going to be, and that's partially due to, well, that's true, and partially due to you're getting beat over the head, like I said, with the news cycle. And so that has not changed, everybody. Whatever it is. There's conflict in Eastern Europe, okay? Inflation as a result of tremendous amounts of easy money in the system for more than a decade by both parties running up the deficit, which contributed to the dramatic increase in the stock market and wealth in this country, is starting to come to an end, by the way. So suddenly we're increasing interest rates, and think of what I'm saying. Interest rates were 0.25, then they went to 0.5, and now they're 1. They're not 10, they're 1.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, you got to kind of have a little bit of a bigger picture perspective than the here and now. Now, that doesn't mean that you should be ignoring what's happening, because I have been making some changes for some clients. I will tell you the biggest thing that I will be adjusting is those clients who are, you know, retired and taking an income. If this market stays down for another month, two, we're going to switch where the income comes from. In other words, there are certain funds or allocations in portfolios which have been way more resistant to this downturn, and that's where you want to take your income from, not from the funds that are, you know, down 25%, and those losses become realized. And so that is, like I was saying, if that's part of the plan and you were ready for this, then, well, again, it's not enjoyable. At least you have a pathway forward so that you don't get damaged too bad or bad at all.
Right. I was reading where Fed Chair Jerome Powell was saying we're going to manage this thing a little bit at a time as far as bringing interest rates up. Okay, like just a little bit at a time depending on market conditions and that sort of thing. What does that do to the person that's managing large sums of money, large portfolios and that large fund accounts?
Right.
What does that tell them? Tell them I need to pull back and then the market reacts to that? Or how does the market react to something like that?
Well, yesterday it reacted like gangbusters, right?
And then today
the other way, because right. I think it just for some different realities, you know, set in. There was like this rally of, okay, you know, he's not going to be overly aggressive. And then it was almost like the reality of, yeah, but things still haven't fully been priced in. And so what's happening now is the market is pricing in what it thinks things are going to look like 6-9 months from now.
Well, plus fuel prices went up again nationally. The national average for gasoline went up another 2 or 3 cents, which it has for the second straight week.
Yeah, I was...
And diesel's at an all-time high. So that can't be good either.
Certainly not for transportation. Yeah, I mean, I was looking at, where's this statistic? And I was like, what? Okay. Now, here's something.
Read it to me.
I'm going to break it down for you, Paulie. So, crude oil production 2 years ago was 13.1 million barrels a day. As of, let's see, like April 22nd, our national production was 11.9 million barrels per day. So I'm like, what was that, 1.2 million barrels per day less than 2 years ago. Exploration has nothing to do with it, and drilling has nothing to do with it. In other words, those things take 10 years or whatever. So it's not that. It's they're consciously choosing not to produce as much oil. Is what that seems to be saying, right? And
yes.
Unless those wells are all running dry. And so then I start thinking, why? Why is that happening? I'm sure there's other reasons than the following I'm going to say, but I can't help but wonder if it's the oil industry taking a certain finger on their hand and raising that certain finger on their hand to the Biden administration.
Right. It's right next to the index finger?
Yep. Somewhere between the thumb and the pinky.
I got you.
Knowing that the Biden administration is going to be focusing on renewable energy and green energy and getting away from fossil fuels. And so what party, political party, is more fossil fuel friendly? And so how do we take the party out of power that is not as fossil fuel friendly? Oh, I know. We will reduce the amount of production of oil. We will keep the price of gas $2 a gallon higher, even though the price of a barrel is the same as it was 2 years ago. At least it was at some point. It's gone up again now.
And we've talked about that.
So that we can get those people out of power and the people who are more fossil fuel friendly into power, because the public really does not like paying $4.75 a gallon for gas. And if you don't think that's the way the world works, well, I'm sorry. It's how the world works. Are there other factors? I'm sure. But I just find the timing kind of interesting and coincidental, and all these other factors playing a role too. And at the end of the day, I don't care. All I know is that there's a lot of retired people on a fixed income and a lot of just working people suffering financially because of the result of that. And what is the causation of that? It could be nothing more than a combination of greed and politics.
And the lower the
I don't mean to shock everybody.
And the lower the income bracket, the more they suffer.
That's correct. Yeah. A bigger percentage of your income goes to gas, food, and housing. So, I don't know. Do you got any thoughts out there? You know something I don't know? Give a call. Happy to entertain anybody's thoughts on this. Those are the thoughts I came up with. Give us a call. With that, we're going to take you out on Cinco de Mayo. By the way, one of the least important, or not even an important holiday down in actual Mexico. Some say invented by the beer companies
right.
to celebrate. Hey, I'm going out tonight. I don't need much of a reason. But hey, so this is the Latin Playboys, everybody. Lemon and Ice. If you're in for a little bit of a Latin groove, love this band. Check them out, Latin Playboys.
So speaking of Cinco de Mayo and imbibing with adult beverages and that, if I had $1 million, Brian,
yes,
I'd buy you a fifth of Cabo Wabo tequila in honor of Sammy Hagar being in Laughlin this weekend.
Oh, Sammy. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He's down there with some new band.
Isn't that his tequila?
See, it is.
Cabo yeah, Wabo. The Circle, I believe, is the band, but I believe Chad Smith is the drummer for that band.
Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah, they've been playing together for a while, wow. Him and Sammy. So
sweet.
Yeah, it's a big party. All right, so we have the Latin Palooza tickets, a table for six. If you want to give us a call, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Or we have Diamondbacks tickets for this Friday or Sunday against the Colorado Rockies. So let us know which one you choose. And again, give us a call this break, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Here's some Latin Playboys. It's called Lemon and Ice, suggested by Brian. All right, back with more in a moment. It's got a good, mellow, funky bass feel. And we got a phone call. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Stay with us.
Take the cool.
No, that is not Richie Valens. That is actually Los Lobos. We'll dig deep into the Los Lobos vault when we get a chance for Brian. Brian's like, that's not the Los Lobos I wanted to hear. I'm like, well, I like this
little
version.
Rockin'. I do. I like this song.
I like
too.
This version, and it's from the movie. So
La Bamba.
There you go. La Bamba, absolutely. And we had a winner for that Latin Palooza table for six. John up in Kingman, congratulations. And you'll be able to pick up your tickets at Will Call at the event this Saturday. Again, that is, what do you call that, North Beach?
No, I guess. I don't know.
Windsor, North Beach, Lake Havasu State Park, North Beach. And that is Saturday at 1 o'clock. So there's six tickets to this bundle, and they're table seats. I'm not even sure what that means.
Sounds kind of fancy.
Sounds like a VIP deal to me.
VIP.
So, John, you are a very important Latin Palooza person. VILP. There you go. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet, and Bradley Ford, and Springberg Wealth Management. Thanks so much for your sponsorship, Brian.
Absolutely.
You know, you've been a Speak Out sponsor pretty
for a
much
minute.
Forever.
Yeah.
For a minute.
Okay.
That's what the young kids say, right?
Yeah,
for
exactly.
A minute. So, just curious, because there are openings now for Speak Out sponsors for this show. And what would you tell a potential advertiser the importance of advertising on Speak Out as far as return on investment goes?
Well,
I mean, you're a smart guy with your money.
So
that says a lot to me.
Well, so for everything has to take into account, you know, who's listening and, you know, what your goal is. And so, you know, with me, it dovetails obviously into this radio show. One of the things I like, I like lots of things about having the radio show. Of course, I like to talk.
You like being across the table from me.
So, duh. Lucky me. But really, you know, what's nice is that if somebody listens to me over the course of some time on this show, you kind of get to know how I see life, I guess, in a way, and some of my expertise. You can call with questions. You know, we don't screen calls, so I have no idea what people are going to ask. And so hopefully I'll have something intelligent to say about what they call about. But the reality is that I like Speak Out because it's just a, you know, people who are engaged, I guess, a little bit more with what's going on or like to have it from a local perspective. Certainly, you know, people get their information from all different sources, you know, state, city, national, international. But this has a little bit of a twist because here you're getting that. And so for me, KNTR is nice because it allows you to get perspectives of local professionals or local politicians that may impact you a little bit more. And also just to recognize, you know, there are people, you know, obviously not just me, but, in, you know, I think you have some people who host real estate hours and different things here that have some good expertise that can help and assist people. And so I've always kind of liked that part of it, and the ability to interact. So,
well,
if you want to, you know, advertise, you got to think, well, what kind of person's on the other end of these ads, and do they fit the demographic of the type of person who might want to buy my goods or services?
Right.
And that's when you know if you're kind of targeting the right kind of market and who you're getting. And so I get people who call and say, listen, I've been listening to your show, Brian, for 2 years or 5 years or 8 years or
wow.
10 years or whatever. And I finally decided to come in and set up an appointment. And they come in and they're like, man, I've been listening to you for, and I'm like, really? I thought it was just, I didn't know if it was just, a couple
right.
family members. And
right. I always say 12 listeners.
And Wayne. And
yeah.
Wayne.
12 listeners plus Wayne.
Well, yeah.
There you go. And Kenny. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, it's nice. It's nice to know that and hear that. So,
that's
yeah.
great. So coming from a person that knows how to invest money and likes the return on investment, you want to contact Tracy here at the station, and she can set you up with an advertising package for Speak Out. Those, like I said, there's a couple spots available, so act now. How's that go? Act now and act fast.
Yeah.
There you go. Just call the station, 855-9336.
And tonight, drink responsibly.
Yes, absolutely. Because they're going to be out, especially Kingman and Havasu. They have Cinco de Mayo details from starting yesterday and running through tomorrow. And that's paid for by the Arizona Governor's Office of Highway Safety.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. They're treating it like St. Patrick's Day, folks. So be careful out there.
That's saying something. Yeah. But instead of car bombs, it's margaritas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in case you think that inflation is a American problem, it's not. Global inflation is looking to be about 7.5% this year. So this is not unique to the United States. So again, to back you off of maybe a more editorialized or political feed that some may pay more attention to, it is not unique to us. Why is it happening? Well, loose and easy monetary policy that I was talking about in the first segment was not just an American approach to the economy and driving markets. It was a global approach. And especially when the pandemic hit, remember the tremendous amount of money that was given and thrown to individuals and businesses alike by both President Trump and President Biden. Huge, trillions. Here's, trillions. Well, so did the rest of the developed world. Trillions, but it, took more of their countries to get to trillions. But still, all of that liquidity over worries about it causing a global recession or depression, when in fact it didn't, but worries that it might. All of that money added into an already prospering economy, global economy, just lit that fuse, and things took off even more, overheating things to the point to where now inflation isn't unique to us, it is global. So it is just so important to get a bigger picture perspective than or an actual news perspective, informational perspective, instead of the editorialized perspectives that most people kind of base their information on nowadays. And when you understand kind of those mechanics, it doesn't make you any happier what's happening to your portfolio or the cost of things, but at least you have a better understanding as to the catalyst or the causes of how we got here. And then it's like you can understand a little better, well, how the heck is that going to ever change, and where do we unwind this? And I just want to again remind you that we've been through times like this. We've been through times much more difficult than this, and strategies in place are going to help you through these tough times when it comes to your money. I'm doing that on a regular basis. One of the things we're going to talk about when we come back from this next break is some tax planning, because I had some clients. You know, last year was a good year, you know, very good year, great year in the market. Well, a lot of people got hit with some taxes they didn't count on. I'm going to talk about how that same thing could happen this year, even if your account value goes down. You thought you were mad last year. Well, you could be madder. So, hey, let's leave with that happy thought.
There you go.
Los Lobos, kicking it.
We'll come back and let you know how to deal with that, maneuver around those IRS ramifications. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie. You're listening to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. We'll be back with more on this Cinco de Mayo. And yes, it is Los Lobos. Shaking, shaking, shakes. Love this song. All right, we still have D-backs tickets for Friday or Sunday. Give us a call here at the station, 928-854-5687. If you want to go to either Friday's game or Sunday's game against the Colorado Rockies at Chase Field. And they're at 500. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Just
pulled out a couple at the back end before
yesterday's
too.
Game was exciting on the radio. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
That new kid Garagiola does a great job. He's the grandson.
I was going to say
Chris Garagiola. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, does a baseball
great
family
job
right there
for when the governor's not calling games. So yeah, great job.
Cool.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Not sure if you remember that song, Brian.
No.
From the mid-80s, a band called Cruzados.
Cruzados,
and yeah.
Yeah,
on this Cinco de Mayo, we're playing Latin-based bands. And Cruzados, I saw them open for Fleetwood Mac.
Wow. So that's saying
yeah,
something.
Yeah, right. They were big back in the day. So, or they had a couple hits anyway. And that was one of them, Motorcycle Girl. Speak Out, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, Sun Power by Esme Electric. My favorite word, used twice and differentiated by an apostrophe.
Herbs, herbs.
I was just there yesterday. I saw the namesake himself.
What'd you get?
My multis. My multivitamin. The men's multi they carry.
Men's multi.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. Bobby's a rock star, man. He came in yesterday to do some production. The guy's a one take wonder now.
Yeah. Professional.
He is. I mean, yeah, he says, okay, hi, Bobby, and then it's bye, Bobby, you know, 2 minutes later after he's done with that one take. So
on to the next thing.
Anyway, don't forget about the Lake Havasu City app. Just talked to Alyssa yesterday. It's going strong. We've had over, I believe it was like 190 hits since people listening to the show via the app since October. And, it's good numbers.
Wow.
Good numbers for Speak Out. That's just on their app.
Yeah.
So it's it says Conservative Talk Radio, and you go and you can listen, and it's based at SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And that's who hosts it. But yeah, you're just listening through the app as far as you know. You don't even open SoundCloud or anything like that. So
how cool
is that? Yeah, getting good hits off of the Lake Havasu City app, thanks to Alyssa Zawisa for creating that app, and she'll be on the show a week from today when Brian's going to be AWOL.
Oh, yeah, huh?
On the 12th. Yeah. That's what you told me. So I scheduled people. Scheduled people.
Oh, I'm out?
That's what I'm told.
Springberg out?
Yeah, that's what I'm told. Right. Then we'll have Brandon Bowers in a week from today as well. He'll be talking about the candidates forum coming up in Lake Havasu City in June 29th, I believe.
Wow, coming up.
I know. It's going so fast this election season.
Boy, who's excited for that?
I am, actually.
Okay.
That's my jam.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. So here's a stat, and I've talked about this kind of thing in the past. An estimated 3.4 million American workers dropped out of the U.S. labor force since early 2020 when the global pandemic began and have chosen not to return. Remember, I've talked about how a third more people retired in 2020 than in 2019. Of course, you know, the majority of that pandemic related, that from the Department of Labor. So what I was talking about before the break was, if you are invested in a what we call a retail account, that's a non-retirement account, so not IRA money, not 401k, not in an annuity product, but an investment portfolio that even if you don't take anything out, the dividends and short-term gains inside of it are taxable to you each year. Just like, you know, interest in your savings account is taxable to you each year, even if you don't take it out. And in a year where, you know, your portfolio goes up 15-20% and you get those dividends, you're not happy about it. In fact, I had a client, I've had two clients actually, come in this last week who said, listen, I've just met with my accountant again and we were talking about the fact that, you know, with how my income has changed, is there a way we can change the portfolio around to be more tax efficient? Because we didn't take any money from that portfolio, Brian, and there were dividends of, you know, $10,000 or whatever it was, and that got added to my income, and that kind of hurt me in some way, so what can we do? So we start getting into tax strategy investing at that juncture. But the thing that I reminded them is, hey, also keep in mind this. When you own shares, especially in mutual funds, which most people who invest own, you know, their portfolios through, it's possible that the value of your account can go down. You lose value, and you still get hit with a big tax bill, even if you didn't take anything out. And the way it works is, well, if the share price of what you own or prices of what you own go down, the value on your statement shows less. I mean, you still own the same shares, but the value of those shares has declined. Therefore, the value of your portfolio is down. But it does not stop the dividends and short-term gains inside of those portfolios from being declared. So there's a scenario where if, you know, to keep the math easy, you have $100,000, your portfolio goes down, you know, 10%, and your value is 90 grand, but you had $4,500 in dividends declared, and that gets added to your taxable income, even though the value of your portfolio declined by $10,000. That scenario is also quite possible. In fact, it happens.
It's common.
It does. It is. Yeah. And so that's when, again, you start making sure that the portfolio is invested not only from a an appropriate risk perspective return expectations, and it's cost efficient and, you know, consistent management and all these other things, but also that there is some thinking relative to your tax planning, because your returns are, let's say it together, how much you make minus taxes, minus fees, minus inflation. That's what your real returns are, everybody. And so when taxes eat up a portion of it, well, one of the things you can potentially do to increase your net return is change the kind of things that you're invested in. That may, for some people, be possible.
You can offset those taxes too with contributions, correct? If you're in that situation where you make contributions, let's say to an IRA or something like that?
Well, it's a separate, totally separate thing, but yeah, tax deductible contributions to your 401k or traditional IRA, mm-hmm. or SEP or whatever can definitely help offset some of the tax liability, but it's not like a direct correlation. It's like, hey, you have this income from over here and you're getting some deductions over there, and that helps offset the bottom line repercussions to you. No question. Some of those things can actually work to your advantage. So just some food for thought, everybody, in addition to everything else, but I will caution you this and to pay attention to. If you were going to sell some of those positions, that could trigger a capital gain. That only happens when you sell. The other things I was describing happen whether you sell or not. But a capital gain could occur, and it may be may cause you no taxes. It may cause very little taxes and make sense, or you could get hit upside the head with a big tax bill. So before you do anything to change your strategy or positions, the first question is, well, what tax liability would this have if I did sell some of those positions in order to make a change to be more tax efficient going forward? And again, your tax professional and financial advisor should be working together. I was just going back and forth with a CPA for a common client to say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. There might be about $20,000 in capital gains. What's their tax situation? How would this affect them? CPA gets back to me and says, hey, here's what's happening with them. And then we're informed of whether or not they're going to have a tax liability before they make a decision as to what it makes sense to do. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take our last break. Oh, the hour. We're going to go out. Are we still on Los Lobos?
Still.
Crank it up.
Yes. Volve, volve.
I love the accordion.
It's a live performance. Yeah, it's a little Tejano-ish, isn't
it? Yeah.
All right. Cool. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul LaVoy.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through SagePoint Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. SagePoint Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of SagePoint Financial.
Actually snuck in some country on you, Brian.
Don't mind this version of it.
Mavericks, All You Ever Do Is Bring Me Down. There's a little accordion in there, too. So, down to about 3 minutes on Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. That's your cue.
Oh, me?
No, Brian Springberg.
So, one of the things that some people should contemplate this year is making moves with their traditional IRA converting to a Roth. And the reason is this. If, you know, you're a long-term investor and you've got a traditional IRA, and you've enjoyed the deduction, and recognize, though, at some point in the future, the withdrawals you take are going to be taxable at whatever your bracket is at that point. If you convert that from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, you have to pay the tax in the year you do it, but from that point forward, all the money, including all the growth, is 100% tax-free. And the reason that we suggest you think about doing it now is if the share price of your investment is down, you can convert more shares from traditional IRA, taxable later, to Roth IRA, tax-free later, as long as you wait 5 years or age 59 and a half, whichever's longer. Now, you just don't do it because, like I said, the first thing you have to ask and pay attention to is, hey, what does that do to my taxes overall if I convert, you know, money from traditional to Roth? Well, that's where you got to talk with your tax professional, make sure it makes sense. But if you can do it and it makes sense from a tax perspective this year, for a lot of people, taking advantage of the lower share prices right now could really pay off at some point down the road. So keep that in mind, everybody. That could work seriously to your benefit. With that, we come to the end of another hour here on Sound Advice on Speak Out. Have a beautiful, safe weekend. Enjoy the weather. Wear sunscreen. And to all of the moms out there, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. I pulled some Los Lonely Boys out of the vault for you.
Classic
tune
song. Here.
Good song called
Heaven. Sing along.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Hannity's up next. Don't forget, tomorrow we have Republican candidate for governor Matt Salmon on the show, along with Sam Scarmardo. And we'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Enjoy your Cinco de Mayo, everyone.
My ways of living, how far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ, HD2, Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.